Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The following is paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program is intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
Chorus Call is a worldwide, Pittsburgh-based provider of custom audio conferencing, video conferencing, webcasting, and event management services for business, government, and nonprofit organizations. Chorus Call frequently accepts applications for customer care and engineering positions in its Monroeville office. If you're interested in a new career opportunity, please visit choruscall.com for more information about the company and current job openings. Compunetics is the leading developer of unified voice, video, and data collaboration and conferencing applications for the service provider, government, and unique workflow applications. The Summit Olympus and Evergreen platforms, driven by their encrypted user interfaces, enable powerful and secure collaboration. Combined with world-class support and innovative professional services, Compunetics delivers the right solution every time. Learn more at Compunetics.com. This is Tech Vibe Radio, your front row seat to Pittsburgh's technology and innovation ecosystem. Tech Vibe is brought to you by Compunetics at Compunetics.com, Chorus Call at ChorusCall.com, Highmark at Highmark.com, Huntington Bank at Huntington.com, Kindling at KindlingAgency.com, PNC Bank at PNC.com, and Savier at Savier.com. Here are your hosts, Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirsting of the Pittsburgh Technology Council, coming at you from the Huntington Bank Studios. Thanks for setting your dial to Tech Vibe Radio. It's Sunday morning. It might be early, Audrey, but I am fired up. How about you?
I am. Always have so much fun doing this.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've been talking about AI on this show. Everyone's been talking about AI, artificial intelligence, for the longest time. The past year and a half, it's been pretty intense, right?
Well, I mean, it's just Moore's Law on steroids, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just all of a sudden everything is AI. And you want to say, wait, you know, AI's been around for a really long time. It's not like this just a standalone kind of phenomenon.
Exactly. I'll actually steal one of your terms. I feel like it's one of those 40-year overnight success stories, kind of like the Tech Council, right?
It is, right?
Because people have been working on AI for a long time here in Pittsburgh. Actually, one of them,
right.
We're one of the birth centers, for lack of a better term, of AI, one of the research innovation centers from the earliest of days.
Right. But I mean, artificial intelligence is embedded. If anyone has a phone,
yep,
it's been embedded in your phone.
You're using it whether you know it or not.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Whether you know it or not. And if you wonder about why all of a sudden you scrolled for something and the next thing you know, you've been bombarded with ads and articles, duh.
blame AI. You were recently on a panel discussion at the University of Pittsburgh as well, too. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was great. They had a full day for students in industry, and mostly MBA students and industry over at the University of Pitt. And they had some really great speakers. I got a chance to stay in the afternoon and listen to some of the people. They had some really great speakers. They had a gentleman that came out from the West Coast who's been involved in AI probably for a decade or more, has his own company.
Yeah.
And he broke it down like how the data and the language structures are set up and designed and, you know, where some of the inflection points are and just showing people so a little bit about the magic behind it and how it's actually structured. I found it so fascinating because the point of the day was to have people understand, should they be scared? What's the opportunities for work? Should they have, do they have an opportunity to develop a career around AI? Are we going to lose jobs? I mean, there wasn't a topic. What's the moral
Man, you guys covered
and
some
ethical
ground on that.
Dilemma about AI?
Do you tell anyone to be
afraid? I'm laughing. I'm going, it's been going on for a long time. This didn't just happen overnight. What happened overnight is that you and I now can have ChatGPT and we can play with it and we can see it. But, you know, isn't that what we hoped the internet would be?
Exactly.
Isn't that what Google you know, it does when you type something in and all of a sudden it finishes the word for you?
I always wonder, are that many people searching for this that it knows it? Or does it know me that
Isn't that what does it? What's happening here? And I think it's just I think it's marvelous that everyone's talking about it. I don't think it's so marvelous that people are instilling this fear. And we get into look at the geopolitical dynamics and, you know, let's look at, you know, do people have critical thinking? Are we stopping that? But didn't that happen when we did Google searches?
I think it did back in the day. So sometimes history repeats itself.
But we haven't.
Little bit.
But do you hear people? I mean, sure, you have people say, oh, you know, go to Dr. Google and you'll, you know, find out about your medical dilemma or whatever it may be. But I think the more important piece is what does it mean to be a critical thinker in terms of the data that you're getting access to? And do you turn it upside down? And do you have enough information to question what's being fed
it.
You?
Yeah, that's
so
good,
I think me, that's more of how do we educate people? How are we educating people more in the humanities, critical thinking, philosophy, you know, ethics, morality? We're actually not. That's not considered sort of a requirement. So it was fabulous conversations and certainly a lot of smart people in the room who were both academics and industry. But it's not as though AI in and of itself is going to take us to a place that we're never going to be able to turn back from. We've been on this journey for a while.
Like I said, 40 years that this has really been something, probably even goes back further than that. I mean, people probably trace it back probably another generation before that. But it's the past 18 months where everything has come to where it becomes so much more accessible.
Well, it's just ubiquitous. That's it.
And ubiquitous.
Anyone can, you know, talk into the phone. They can say, ChatGPT, please find X, Y, and Z for me. And if you don't dig and dig and dig, right, and you just take it for like that flat information that it provides you, we might be in some wonky times, right? We might. And people are writing that don't have vocabularies when you talk to them and they're writing and their vocabularies don't match how they write.
And you're like, wait a second.
You can see it.
I sniff something.
Ethics in the classroom. But I mean, AI is a tool. It's a tool.
It
it's just another tool in the toolkit.
Right. That's why, I mean, we've had many discussions where we talk with folks and say, oh, how many jobs is it going to take away? And like everything, jobs are always going to be coming and going. But this is creating so much more opportunity and it's creating so much more efficiency. I look at how I use it here at the Tech Council with all the writing and content development that we use. It becomes a great sounding board, a great way to get ideas, a great way to generate something quickly and use a chunk of it and then make it your own by using your brain in order to enhance the AI. I like to use my brain as an AI enhancer sometimes.
You're an AI enhancer. I like that.
If ever I can. That's for sure.
But I mean, we just had our big data event, which included AI and machine learning and lots of incredible conversations going on. I think that's what we need more of.
I couldn't agree more.
All different kinds of people coming around, talking about it, not being afraid, understanding where the dangers are, understanding how it's shifting education, and understanding how it's shifting work.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's shifting work, but so did the wheel.
Exactly.
The wheel shifted work. Oops, fire did.
Exactly.
Didn't fire shift the way we work?
We like our meat raw over here.
It shifted. Look, you know, you could look at steel. You know, it doesn't take the same amount of human power to do, you know, to produce the same output.
Technology marches forward, but it creates new opportunities, and hopefully it creates a better environment for us to all live
and
be humans in.
And it creates an environment where there's a little bit more equity in terms of people having access.
Very much so.
And
great
that
point.
We're not leaving people behind.
Very good point.
And that people have those tools, and they're exposed to those tools, and it becomes a little bit more inclusive.
I like that. Yeah, that makes total sense. Makes total sense. Your insight always, that's why you're on the panel, because your insights always, you always make me feel better about things, because you bring it to a level where it's like, because you see the crazy headlines out there and things that you think, oh, that sounds terrible. And then you're like, no, like if you think it through and apply
it
across
through.
And then it becomes like, well, no,
you
this is a good thing.
People, you have a critical mind.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you've been
absolutely.
In journalism and you've been in media, so you know you can't just regurgitate anything.
No, And when people try, it just looks bad. You can tell. That's for sure.
You can tell.
Absolutely.
You can tell.
And with AI making, you know, obviously in the business world, we have so many businesses out there, small and large, like, we got to get into this AI thing. And people sometimes will get into it a little bit blindly. And I had a really fun One Mic Stand podcast with one of our new member companies, iTero. I talked with Rob Boros and James Mitchell, and they had a great way of talking about an approach, how to make AI approachable and also actionable and operational. And that's making sure that you can tackle projects that you can actually see some return on without a whole lot of investment that can actually make your business like more efficient. They say so many times a business wants to really hit it out of the park, like one big swing and just have AI solve all these problems. And they're like, you may not want to try that. And so I had a really cool conversation with them. I thought it'd be kind of fun to play
a little hunk
of that for our listeners. What do you think, Audrey?
That's great. Love it.
Cool.
Let's let it roll.
Well, so anywhere people are asking questions about how to bring something new into their space, you know, it's kind of where we sit. AI is the obvious place to go. And I don't want to say it too much because it ends up sounding like a buzzword, but it truly is part of the workflow in a lot of segments today. It's not just coming out of the boardroom saying we must do something with AI, which is a lot of what people are hearing. We want to make sure that when that's being said, you know, there's a way to absorb that change, embrace it, and then deploy it in a way that's meaningful for the organization, and not just the, you know, corporation or organization, but the team or the individual that's bringing it on. Because a lot of this stuff can, what we found and what you've probably seen too, is that if you just give someone a tool and say, go run with it, sometimes they're going to find something cool that they can do with it. But many times folks will just put it to the side and go back to the stuff that they're familiar with and leave innovation on the table, right? And not build it into their workflow so they can create efficiencies.
Absolutely. And yeah, so many times you hear folks saying, well, we've got to do something with that AI out there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, what does that mean exactly?
That's right.
Sounds great and all, but we got to make sure it is actionable and that the team, if you do invest, because these investing in these types of tools, it's not an insignificant investment to dollars you're laying out there to actually put this to work. So you got to make sure that, like, yeah, what we're going to do with this is going to be something that moves forward, people can embrace it and actually use it, right?
Yeah.
I think one great thing about where we're at today with it is, you know, everybody knows that they need to get on board with some type of AI. Not everybody's sure where to start. But if we can bring in the things that they are comfortable with, so change management, product development, operational policies, you know, whether it's a data policy or data strategy, security policies, security strategies, things that are already working within an organization, just building upon those things. And so AI really isn't or doesn't need to be that scary because it's just a new technology, right? And we've been through, and most organizations have already been through this in the past with other technologies.
That's a very good point.
So, yeah.
But for some reason, I think AI is just freaking us out more because we're feeling like, oh, it's going to start thinking for me.
Sure. Well, it's weird because, you know, we were talking about this on the way over. A year ago, people were saying, you know, there are two camps, right? There's the one that says AI is going to kill us and the one that says AI is going to save us. And now, a year later, those concerns or those, you know, whatever the optimism or pessimism may be, has become more granular. So now you're having folks actually say things like, AI is great for these five or six things over here, but man, deepfakes really freak me out. So they have a new terminology.
Exactly.
And as the terminology grows, they start figuring out, it's like, you know, what tool is presenting either the most risk or opportunity for me? And without going through some sort of self-assessment, like any other new technology or practice, you're not going to know, right? So all the things that Rob just listed, right, in terms of things that we do or support, are process oriented, right? They're repeatable and measurable. And that's where AI thrives, is in an environment where you have policies in place and some sort of infrastructure that
– guardrails.
Yeah.
I keep saying it's guardrails to keep it safe, because that's – you got to make sure that it's good data that it's pulling from in order to generate the things that you need.
And that's a really good point, because data is a really – the good data piece is the strongest forcing function you can have to implement solid AI with good results. If you throw – just spaghetti at the wall, it's what you're going to get. But if you have a very precise approach to knowledge management, your data taxonomy, data hygiene, you're in a really good place, right, to actually implement AI in a scalable, manageable way that you see results. Mm-hmm. No home runs. We'll get to home runs.
Yeah.
Let's get on base, right? It's a really good analogy. And I think the folks that we talk to have hit home runs with all kinds of technology in the past, but they tend to forget that it didn't start that way, right? Like it's this iteration towards
success. Short-term memories.
Yeah, we do. That's really true.
And this is definitely like such a new frontier that we're kind of forget that.
Yeah.
And so being able to realize that, no, we can embrace this and do this in a sensible way on areas that you know you can apply it to that make the most sense, where there's a safe way to start, which I think is just really important as far as this. So you can't build me a deep fake then?
Yeah.
Damn.
Actually, you just
it's not that
hard. Go to the right website, right? And it's done for you in a matter of minutes.
Well, I need one for my business. It may not be, it's my side business. It's like, oh, that's a whole other thing. I think this is what I love having these discussions, because I feel like we're kind of clearing the air on a lot of these things. So maybe let's talk about what are some of the key areas where you really are finding success. Maybe we can get a little more granular on that. You mentioned some of these areas within business processes that people have. Are there areas where you're helping companies find success by implementing some AI solutions?
Yeah, it really starts with the assessment piece.
Okay.
That's where all organizations should take some time and put some efforts into.
Yeah.
The cycles spent in the assessment to understand, you know, are the guardrails, as we were just talking about, are the guardrails in place sufficient? Do we have a responsible AI strategy? Can our data management succeed in these new AI tools that we want to go to market with? The other area where I see a lot of interest is in just upskilling the everyday employee. So your accountants, your HR team, your recruiting team, your business analysts, project managers, there's a lot of upskilling that can happen, and it can happen really, really quickly. Those are the two areas where I would
– It's actually been –
That's interesting.
It's been – so my current operating theory is that if you go to any organization, particularly in government, right, and just to pull on where my expertise sort of lives is, in contracting, HR, finance – a lot of those organizations are, again, they're heavily compliant organizations that don't have access to all the tools that your tier one satellite program is going to have, right? The front of the house government, how you see, big policy being enacted with things like AI, machine learning may be part of that, but there is a staff behind that to make the purchases, to hire the people, to do all the sort of infrastructural things you need to happen. And they may not have access to the same tools that front of the house team might have, right? And that's just the nature of budget and policy, whatever it is. That there's a translation to enterprise in the commercial space as well. And so we think that if we bring the teams together, whatever they may be, and point them to sort of that more of a platform approach to AI, which is like, we're not going to go down specific use cases for individuals yet. We're going to give you the fundamentals. We're going to teach you some aspects of, even something as simple as prompt engineering, right? Like understanding how to talk to these things, if language models
that's,
are what
I'm
you're
I'm so glad you brought that up. I think that just makes so much sense to me, is the idea that, because so much of this is just based on very, very specialized parts of what you do and how you do it. And the idea that just being able to use it by being able to generate the right prompts
right.
to get information that you need. It's a good like, way to get comfortable with it, right?
Yeah.
And a way to kind of get you into the door. And then you start realizing, wait a second, we can really make this official by making sure it's used in this particular instance with this data set mm-hmm. to give this result.
Yeah, and the odds are folks have engaged AI in one way or another without the guardrails or without someone coaching them because it is sort of a sandbox, which is great. But you may walk away from it going, that's not everything that I thought it was going to be because yeah. you spoke to it a certain way or it didn't return a prompt the way that you would expect it to. But if you have someone there that's done this before and can show you that it's not just one prompt, it's 30, and you get to a place where you start to develop actual artifacts from those conversations that are accretive to your day-to-day, that's when the efficiency comes out. But it takes practice and it takes an understanding like everything else, right?
Of course.
So
absolutely.
There's a lot of light bulbs that go off in the workshop yeah. where – you know, I didn't know that I could ask it to do this, or I didn't realize that I could get it to respond in a certain way, or I didn't realize that I could get it to have a conversation with me where it's leading the conversation as opposed to me leading the conversation.
That's when things get scary.
They do. But again, it's
like, why are you asking me the question? Yeah. I didn't tell you to do that.
And so that it's really fun with the prompt engineering side to see individuals, you know, just light bulbs and, you know, excitement. Oh, man, now I see a use case for it
completely
where I didn't
understood.
See it before when I was playing around mm-hmm. with it. A lot of people use it just for – as like an updated search function, right? Like, hey, tell me this
that's
thing.
That's a
give
great
me the answer.
Point. Yeah, I tell you what, my first instances of it really was like last year when people were talking about it. Me being a little bit of a curmudgeon in certain areas, I'm always kind of like, oh, I can think for myself, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm very creative, blah, blah, blah. And then sometimes you realize like, man, you need a little help. So I just use it just to get ideas with. Or sometimes you need something generated quickly and you know you're not going to use that as your final piece, but you're like, wait a second, this you're able to bounce, I guess, yep. things off of mm-hmm. it. And it does become this way to – I don't have that friend when you're working from home.
So, you know, James and I talk a lot about, and we talk with the rest of our team as well, about how the ability to go from zero to one in whatever it is you're doing, whether you're drafting an article or, you know, writing a book or, you know, creating a business process, to get from zero to one is much easier now.
So much fun, Audrey. Love being here on Tech Vibe Radio. These conversations are great. Like I said, this world, as we're starting to embrace more and more technology, the idea of AI not taking over the world, but taking it over the world in a good way, in a way that makes our lives better.
I think it's what it's about. Danger to change.
Of course.
Right. So the more that we can be educated, the more that we can embrace, the more that we can develop critical thinking. I mean, that's where I think we need to be focusing
totally.
Our efforts on, particularly in early childhood education all the way
through
to high, you know, through high
totally.
School.
And so one thing I know about you, Audrey, over the decades that I've known you now, I think it's close to 20 years or something, but like you embrace change and you look it straight in the face and say, let's
it.
Go. That's been very inspiring for me because don't be afraid. Here's an opportunity to do something transformative, right?
Thank you.
Good stuff, man. I love it. Thanks for hanging out with me, Audrey, on Tech Vibe Radio.
Always.
Good stuff. Hey, everyone, if you want more Tech Vibe Radio, go to pghtech.org. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Search for Tech Vibe. We literally have thousands of interviews. It's kind of crazy like that, but Audrey and I have a lot of fun talking to people. So anyone, have a great weekend. This has been Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Thanks for geeking out with us on Tech Vibe Radio. Tune in next Sunday for more tech and innovation stories right here from Pittsburgh. Tech Vibe is brought to you by Compunetics. At compunetics.com, Chorus Call at choruscall.com, Highmark at highmark.com, Huntington Bank at huntington.com, Kindling at thekindlingagency.com, PNC Bank at pnc.com, and Savier at savier.com. And we're always coming at you from the Huntington Bank Studios.
The preceding was paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program was intended to solely further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information heard on the preceding program.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.